Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon, and Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiad. Abiad begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Matthan, and Matthan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Verses 1 through 17, Matthew chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful and the beautiful, the joy-filled and grace-filled stories that make up the Christmas narratives. Thank you for the privilege and the blessing that's ours as we are wise enough to take the time to read and meditate on them and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us words of wisdom, guidance, counsel, and grace, not just about Christmas time, but about all of life. And thank you for the truths we can learn as we take the time to read and meditate on these beautiful stories that we call the Christmas story. Father, anoint our time of sharing these insightful stories today, and I pray that you'll empower us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the Christmas narratives and how beautiful of the story of Jesus is. Heavenly Father, I just ask that we'd spend more time dwelling on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that we'd think about the sacrifice that you made out of love for us. Heavenly Father, I pray that we'd grow more in relationship with you, more in love with you, that we'd respond more to your word, and that we could just dwell more in your presence, for you're so good. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, throughout the Christmas season, on an ongoing basis, our goal is to encourage you to take the time to read all the way through the Christmas narratives, not just once or twice, but several times, individually and with your family as well, as husbands and wives together, as parents with children, because you will learn things about Christmas that you didn't know, but also you'll find that the Holy Spirit speaks to you about all of life through these wonderful and powerful stories. Again, they're made up through Matthew chapters 1 and 2, all of Matthew chapters 1 and 2, and all of Luke chapters 1 and 2. So we do hope that you'll take that time. We're very honored and blessed to have with us in studio today students from Tupelo Christian Preparatory School, and they're going to be reading through passages from the Christmas narratives. And we're going to start off with Whitley.
My name is Whitley, and I'm reading Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
My name is Ellie, and I'll be reading Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
My name is Brenna, and I will be reading Matthew 2, 13 through 23. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene.
My name is Noli, and I will be reading Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
My name is Brenna, and I will be reading Luke 1, 39 through 55. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house.
My name is Piper, and I'll be reading Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Hi, my name is Abby, and I'll be reading Luke 2, 8 through 32. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things.
You're listening to students from Tupelo Christian Preparatory School reading from the Christmas narratives. We'll be right back.
the sound of angels filling the sky, telling everyone Christmas time is. Together, sharing the joy, Emmanuel.
Don't tell the world,
he has come to dwell.
Music of Michael W. Smith with Christmas Time. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're privileged to have with us in studio students from Tupelo Christian Preparatory School reading from the Christmas narratives. And so we're going to pick up at this time as Piper reads once again Luke 2, 1 to 12.
My name is Piper, and I'll be reading Luke 2, 1 through 12. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn.
My name is Abby, and I'll be reading Luke 2, 8 through 32. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel."
My name is Ella, and I'll be reading Luke 2, 33 through 52. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother,
Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. So now it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
You've been listening to students from Tupelo Christian Preparatory School as they've been reading from the Christmas narratives found in the Word of God, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And we certainly hope that the beautiful and gifted voices of these young people as they share the Word of God bless and encourage you to read your Bible throughout the Christmas season and beyond. Again, we're always grateful to have you as a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession, and I want to take time now to read passages from the book of Isaiah, which contain messianic prophetic passages as well. And so I want to take time to read Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 7 in particular, verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Again, that was Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Picking up now at Isaiah chapter 7, starting at verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, 'Syria's forces are deployed to Ephraim.' So his heart and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jashub, your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, "Take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria, and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, "Let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its walls for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal." Thus says the Lord God, "It shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, so that it will not be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly that is in the farthest part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. They will come, all of them will rest, in the desolate valleys and in the clefts of the rocks, and on all thorns and in all pastures. In the same day the Lord will shave with a hired razor, with those from beyond the river, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the legs, and will also remove the beard. It shall be in that day that a man shall keep alive a young cow and two sheep. So shall it be from the abundance of milk they give, that he will eat curds, for curds and honey everyone will eat who is left in the land. It shall happen in that day that wherever there could be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver, it will be for briars and thorns, with arrows and bows, arrows and bows, men will come there, because all the land will become briars and thorns. And to any hill which could be dug with the hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns, but it will become a range for oxen and for a place for sheep to roam. Then moving to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Verses 1 through 7, Isaiah chapter 9. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful stories that make up the Christmas narratives. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. But Lord, thank you also for the many, many prophecies that are fulfilled, that were fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From Isaiah and many other books as well, your word points, all of your word points to the Lord Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. Thank you for the many fulfilled prophecies that Christ did fulfill. And thank you, Father, for the fact that he's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the greatest King. He's our greatest King that ever walked the earth. But also thank you, Lord, for the wonderful example we find in you that you're not only the greatest King that ever walked the earth, but you're also the greatest servant. Teach us, Lord, that we're a kingdom of kings and priests, but we're called to be sacrificial servants who serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to be faithful to do just that. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Of Casting Crowns with Gloria. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. As we often do, I want to share with you some resource discipleship articles, these in particular that focus on the Christmas season and discipleship actions and activity that we can be doing during the Christmas season. This first article is entitled, A Discipleship Message to Parents for Christmas. Again, a discipleship message for parents, a discipleship message to parents for Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Again, Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. During the Christmas season or Advent, there are certain discipleship activities that families are very wise to carry out. These activities can help us as families to grow in our understanding of the blessed messages of the Christmas narratives. Families should make it a high priority to read through all the nativity stories a number of times during the Christmas season, not just once or twice, but several times. Those narratives are found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Why is this so important? In order for anyone to really understand the message and the meaning of Christmas, Christ needs to be at the center of our understanding of all of it. The word Christmas means Christian Mass or Christ's Mass. The term Christmas derives from the Roman Catholic Church's term for the Mass of Christ. Christmas is the celebration of God's greatest gift, Christ the Lord, as he came into the world as a baby long ago. Matthew and Luke tell us of the many glorious events that happened when Christ first came into the world as a little baby boy. We live in a world where people get excited and passionate about many things. People get very excited about entertainment, sports, etc. And sometimes so many of the things people get so passionate about really are not that important. The Word of God helps us to see things in life that are genuinely worth getting excited about. The wise men in Matthew chapter 2 were full of joy and excitement over having the opportunity to come and find Christ and worship him. And they were excited about giving the prophetic gifts that they gave to the Lord Jesus as well. Gabriel was excited to bring the good news that he brought to Zechariah and Mary. He appeared to be very excited to let Zechariah know that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a baby who would be the forerunner for the Messiah. Gabriel also seemed very excited to bring the news to Mary that she would be the mother of the Messiah. The messenger angels of Luke chapter 2, who let shepherds know that Christ had been born, were very excited about the coming of Christ into the world. They worshiped and praised God over the news. Simeon and Anna, also in Luke chapter 2, were excited, joyful, and worshipful over seeing and learning of the Messiah's coming into the world. Parents, having your children read about the people, places, and events of Christmas, as well as the excitement and passion that they reveal, is edifying and fruitful. Reading the Christmas narratives is much more fruitful and impacting and encouraging than probably any of us realize. May all followers of Christ become more and more passionate about Christ and his kingdom. May we strive daily to become much more committed to his will and his priorities in all areas of our lives during the Christmas season and beyond. Christmas is not about shopping, getting or giving gifts, going to parties, Santa Claus, and reindeer. For every family, for every person, for all people, this is true. Christmas is Jesus. Again, the title of that article, A Discipleship Message to Parents for Christmas. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, a discipleship message to parents for Christmas. Again, email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. And this next article from the AFA Stand that we wrote is entitled, and keep in mind, this is something, that a tool that can be used for any and all believers that desire to get involved with it. This next article is entitled, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Again, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. And let me say beforehand, obviously, this is a suggested project, and any grandparent listening, you can tweak it and adjust it any way as you choose to, but we invite you to listen to the details of this particular project. Again, the title of the article, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 tells us, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Again, Luke 2, 11. Then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules, that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over, to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. How encouraging, uplifting, and inspiring it is for believers to take time to read, meditate, and think about the beautiful, glorious, and grace-filled narratives we know as the Christmas stories. They're found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. What a great tragedy it is that so many children have never read the Christmas narratives or the Christmas story themselves during Christmas or at any other time as well. Here's a project specifically for grandparents during the Christmas season that can bless any grandchild that they have participating. This is how the project works. Let each of your grandchildren know that you'd like for them to do the following for you. Call you every day for 8 days during Advent or the month of December. During each call, read a part of the Christmas narratives out loud. Here's a possible reading plan that you could use and share with your grandchildren to make use of. The children who are 8 years old or older can read the following. Matthew chapter 1 on day 1. The next day, Matthew chapter 2. The next day, Luke 1, 1 to 20. The next day, Luke 21 to 37. The next day, Luke 1, 38 to 56. The next day, Luke 1, 57 to 80. The next day, Luke 2, 1 to 20. The next day, Luke 2, 21 to 38. And then the final day, Luke 2, 39 to 52. For children younger than 8, you might simply have them read shorter passages that you select from these same chapters in Matthew and Luke, or you may even choose to have them read the same passage each time, which is fine as well. Let them know that you'll give them $1, $5, or whatever figure you prayerfully come up with for each grandchild each time they call you up and read the Christmas passage for you. Many a grandchild that isn't particularly motivated to read for granddad or grandmom, for them, the money prize has a strange way of suddenly causing them to all of a sudden become highly motivated to read. Why is a project like this such a fruitful one? Allow me to share with you several reasons. Remember, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. When our children and grandchildren read the Word of God, they're spending time listening to and fellowshipping with Jesus. And for many a child, a grandparent doing this kind of project with them may be the only person in that child's life that's having them to read the Word of God out loud to them. There's nothing in all of the world that will bless and nourish the lives of a child more than the powerful Word of God. Grandparents can have one more excuse to call and spend time in conversation with their grandchildren through such a project as this. After they begin the reading project, I'd suggest you begin to either mail the prize the same day that they start reading to you and mail them, or, of course, you can figure out another way to get the money to them. One way to do this is to see to it that you mail 8 checks made out to your grandchild 8 times. Why do it this way instead of sending 1 check at the end of the project? Well, keep in mind, your grandchild will receive 8 different gifts instead of 1. And receiving each gift / reward can increase the excitement for the grandchild. Picture your grandchild saying, "Mom, did the mail come yet? Grandmother's sending me some more money today for reading about Christmas." Imagine the grandchild opening the envelope and saying, "Here's my money from Granddad. He must think reading about Jesus and Christmas is important." And imagine your grandchild doing this for 8 days coming up to Christmas, getting more excited about getting the mail than the day before. Obviously, the great blessing to your grandchildren is not the money. It's having the eternal Word of God planted in his or her heart and mind. Every grandparent can choose to do this project however they want to. They can certainly adjust the details or some of the different aspects of the project in any way they wish to. That's entirely up to you. This is simply a fun way to carry out a Christmas discipleship project that can have eternal fruit in the lives of your grandchildren. What do you say, grandparents? Are our grandchildren worth the fruitful and fun effort to do a project like this? Sure they are. Again, the title of that article, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Again, to get a copy of this article, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to become your Lord and Savior, this Christmas season is a great time to get saved and to give your life to the Lord Jesus. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong that I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey and follow you every day. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. Please email us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch with us again. We hope to hear from you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of the articles we shared, the first article entitled A Discipleship Message to Parents for Christmas, the second article entitled A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. If you like one or both articles, simply email us again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. And also, please do pray much for the great outreach school, Tupelo Christian Preparatory School, as they continue to do the work of building God's kingdom through building children in the kingdom. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.